Support for this episode comes from Signature Bank.
Hi, this is Gary Head, Chairman and CEO of Signature Bank of Arkansas. Our bank was founded in Northwest Arkansas in May of 2005. And in 19 years, we have grown to over $1.1 billion in assets and 210 teammates to serve you. We have locations in Bentonville, Springdale, Rogers, Fayetteville, Harrison, Jonesboro, and Brinkley. We have a 100% Latino Hispanic bank in downtown Rogers we call Banco C. We're opening our second Banco C early this summer in downtown Springdale on Emma Street. We have a talented group of bankers that love the communities that we serve. All of our bankers have the authority to do business and are eager to do so. As chairman, I welcome your call at 479-684-3700 or visit us online at signature.bank and tell them that you heard about us first at I Am Northwest Arkansas. Signature Bank of Arkansas is a member of the FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Attention Northwest Arkansas businesses and talent seekers. Introducing Onboard NWA.com, your hyperlocal job board crafted for our unique community. Struggling to find the perfect match for your job openings? Onboard NWA simplifies the hiring process, connecting you with the region's top talent through tailored talent matching solutions. Whether you're an employer seeking expertise or a professional looking for your next opportunity, Onboard NWA is here for you. Discover more at onboardnwa.com and let's build the future of Northwest Arkansas together.
It's time for another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas, the podcast covering the intersection of business, culture, entrepreneurship, and life in general here in the Ozarks. Whether you are considering a move to this area or trying to learn more about the place you call home, we've got something special for you. Here's our host, Randy Wilbur.
Hey folks, and welcome back to another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. I'm your host, Randy Wilbur, and I'm excited to be with you today as always. I am sitting here in the Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF. That's right. You guys know we partnered up with KUAF last year. It's now 2024. I can't believe we're into our second year of partnership. And if you didn't know, now you know. You can always hear the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast on Ozarks at Large every Tuesday, both at noon and at 7 p.m. And I just heard that Ozarks at Large also plays down in Little Rock in the evening. So it's kind of like we're here, there, and everywhere representing Northwest Arkansas to the best of our abilities. But I'm just really honored to be part of public radio here in Northwest Arkansas. And so we don't take that lightly. That is a mantle that we hold in high esteem and high regard. And so that's why I talk about it all the time. I know some of you that listen to this podcast regularly are like, Randy, we know you're in the Furman Garner Performance Studio, but listen, I'm proud of this relationship, but I'm even more excited to be a part of what is happening out of this station. And so everything that Lee Wood and Kyle Kellums and the rest of the team here at KUAF is doing, I certainly encourage you to support them in any way that you can. And only a couple times a year do they raise money. But I certainly, when you hear that call, do that, because we need public radio like never before. And so I hope that's my shill for KUAF, and I hope that's okay for you. But listen, folks, I think I have an amazing episode for you today. I'm sitting here with Lacey Bray, who is part of the Ozark Beer Company. She is a co-owner along with her husband, Andy Coates. And Lacey and I met because we're both members of the Rogers Lowell Chamber of Commerce. Shout out to them. Shout out to Karen Wagaman. Karen had an event, an early morning event, and I drove up to Rogers, and that's where I met Lacey. And I've drunk her beer. I've drunk a lot of it. And so, I was like, man, at least it's good to know who made it. And so without further ado, I want to welcome Lacey Bray from Ozark Beer Company to the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. Lacey, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me, Randy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is my pleasure. It's so good to have you on here. And as I said, one of my goals is really just to kind of share your story and let people know what you guys are all about. But everybody has probably seen Ozark Beer Company, has seen your logo. If you've been to downtown Rogers, you've seen the building. But I would love for you, if you could just share with us a little bit about the story behind the founding of Ozark Beer Company and kind of what inspired you to venture into the craft beer industry.
Mm-hmm. My husband and I had met out in Colorado.
Okay.
And we had done some seasonal work together for a few years out there. And we were reaching a point in our like later 20s where we kind of needed to maybe pick a path and decide what to do. And so at that point, I applied and was accepted to Teach for America out of Chicago. And Andy took that time to do training. And he had been working at a brewery in Denver while we were together, and took training and worked at Goose Island.
Goose Island.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. Up in
like
Chicago.
Goose Island IPA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yep.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. And so we were in Chicago for 2 years. And after that time, we took some time off to kind of decide like what our next step was. And we ended up out kind of in the Washington area, Walla Walla, Washington, doing a wine crush out there. And there was a super early frost. And so the season ended a few weeks before we were expected to have to leave. And so we started traveling around the area and just hitting breweries. And I think at that point, we realized how kind of unique and special like tap rooms were. Wherever we kind of wandered in, whatever community it was, whether, you know, it was in Boise or whether it was in the middle of nowhere in Idaho or Washington or Oregon, when you stepped into a tap room, you got a really good snapshot of the area.
Yeah.
There were people that were regulars there. People were always willing to talk. You could see by the events that they were hosting, like what was important to the community and what they valued. And I think we took that and thought, we want to be able to create that kind of space for ourselves.
Yeah.
And so we had lived in so many places at that point, Colorado and, you know, Illinois, Washington, Virginia. I'm from Arkansas, Andy's from Iowa. And so we just started looking at all of the state laws about where would be the most beneficial in terms of what we were allowed to do. And Arkansas had the best like laws for breweries.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that still the case today?
It is.
Okay.
There are lots of states that are moving forward on legislation, but Arkansas, you know, in the 90s, Diamond Bear was in Little Rock.
Okay.
And there were, you know, I think three breweries in the state at that time, Diamond Bear and Vino's. And I think John up here at West Mountain was always trying to get a brewery started during that time. And so when it wasn't a big industry, when there wasn't a lot of eyes on it, they got a lot of laws changed that made it really beneficial to make beer here.
Yeah.
And so,
interesting. You know, it's so funny as you're talking about that, I go back in my mind when I lived out in the Bay Area in the early 90s, some friends bought me a craft beer kit.
Mm-hmm.
I tried it one time and I think I messed up something with the fermentation process. Don't judge me, but it didn't turn out the way I was hoping to. And so I went back to going to the liquor store or the package store to get my beers. And I said, I'm going to leave that to the professionals. But I'm glad you didn't, though, right? Because when you think of it, and, you know, like I said, people know that listen to this podcast that I lived in Boston for a while. And I lived not too far from where Sam Adams first mm-hmm. started their brewery.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were kind of a craft beer mm-hmm. company that
yep.
that got big.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there was always room for growth in that area. But you're absolutely right. Going around to different parts of the country, you get a feel for that area through mm-hmm. that craft brewery mm-hmm. experience, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like finding your own little Cheers
mm-hmm.
in some other neck of the woods. And there's always going to be that familiarity about it that will harken back to maybe where you're from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's unique about it. Mm-hmm. So somebody in Washington State could come here to visit in Northwest Arkansas and visit Ozark Beer Company and feel like, oh, this feels very similar mm-hmm. to my craft brewery back home.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the great things about the people that visit craft breweries, and especially when they have their, I mean, people travel and like, for some people, that's their whole point of travel is to go out and find local breweries in the area. And I feel like people are very passionate about their local tap rooms. And so when people are coming in to visit, they're excited to share like what's going on and the beers. And I don't know how many times I've watched like our patrons at the bar, like welcome people in and explain like our tap wall. And it is, it's really good to have spaces where people are welcoming to those that they don't know.
Yeah.
Like it's a space that invites conversation.
Yeah. I mean, in the few times that I have been inside of your location, because it seems like everywhere I go, somebody's carrying Ozark beer. But every time that I've been inside your location there in downtown Rogers, I've always felt at home and welcomed. And I know the last time I was there, one of my buddies was like, oh, man, he was like, oh, you got to get one of these hats. And he bought a hat and he was, you know, he got a little Ozark Beer Company swag. And so it was, you know, it was kind of cool. It's just a nice little space. So
that's thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk a little bit about, so you're originally from Northwest Arkansas.
I am.
We were talking before we started recording how you have seen the change in this area. You said mm-hmm. you went away for 10 years and you mm-hmm. came back and you were like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. this isn't the same Northwest Arkansas that I remember. And then even more so, that was a while ago. And so now 14 plus years later, you're like, man, this mm-hmm. area has changed considerably.
Yeah, it's been really, really wild. I think for me, some of the largest things immediately are just, you know, this is such an agricultural area and so much farmland that is now developed. And I think that's part that changes a lot. But then really just the culinary scene, like opening up and yeah. welcoming people. And that has been really exciting to see. Just I feel like Northwest Arkansas is very welcoming. And so when people come in with an idea, I feel like there are lots of people that are excited about it
right.
and want to try to help, you know, people realize that. And so, yeah.
I mean, it's exciting to see. And like you said, you've seen the change tremendously over time. And I mean, I would imagine that when you guys started Ozark Beer Company, which was 2013,
mm-hmm. yep.
Downtown Rogers doesn't look like Downtown Rogers
That's
does
right.
today, which is just 11 years
yep.
later.
Yep. That's absolutely right. And I mean, where we were when we first started was about a mile south of town,
okay.
kind of in a more industrial area.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's wild to think back on that. When we went to look for a location for the brewery, we couldn't get anyone to lease us space because it was so new and people didn't understand a brewery and a tap room and making alcohol. And of course, Benton County had just gone wet in 2012.
Okay.
And so then we opened right after that. And so to go from a place of understanding that you're going to have to educate absolutely everyone that walks in your door
yeah.
to now becoming an area that's known for, you know, breweries and restaurants. And so, yeah, it's very different, but I feel like so much has changed, but there's this like very intangible piece about just people being friendly and welcoming and opening to each other that has remained the same. And
yeah.
for me, that is the piece that I really want to try to keep to remain the same,
yeah.
you know, that we don't become a place that becomes more insular and not as friendly. And so.
Right. And you know, it's funny because as you say that, that's what we talked about before we started recording. And that's a through line that I hope remains here in Northwest Arkansas. And what I mean by that is simply that you feel like if you're just moving here for the first time, that you feel comfortable and you feel at home very quickly. And it's partly because people around you make you feel like that and that people are welcoming. And of course, you walk into any Walmart, people are going to talk to you, even if you don't know them. So fair warning to anybody that's coming here, just know what you're getting into because you know how it is. I mean, you could get the sensibility of somebody from the East Coast. It's like, you know, if you spend time, any amount of time in like New York City or Boston, it's like, don't speak unless somebody speaks to you. And even then, you might just give them a look and keep going. And so here it's a lot different because mm-hmm. I mean, I can't tell you the number of, you know, robust conversations that I've had just in a checkout line
mm-hmm.
somewhere.
Yep.
And you're right. I don't want that to ever go away. And that's what I tell people all the time when people ask me, well, what is it like here in Northwest Arkansas? That's kind of what it's like. Mm-hmm. And so as we grow, we're 576,000 people now. We're going to be 1 million people, they say, by 2045. I think it might happen sooner than that. It's going to be important for all of us that are here to kind of hold the line
mm-hmm.
as far as that's concerned.
Yep.
And you guys are doing it through your business, but it's just for the average Joe and Jane to do it. I think it's mm-hmm. important for us to be reminded of that.
Yeah. I know we don't live Downtown Rogers has Lake Atlanta right there, and we live in Downtown Rogers. And so we'll go hit the trails quite a bit. And it always amazes me, A, like how busy it is, especially growing up there and watching Lake Atlanta be rebuilt and just the number of people that come and use the trails. But then everyone speaks to each other on the trails. Yeah. Like you're going by and you're saying hello and you're, you know, and so, yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, I'm on the Neocasca Creek Trail, which is part of the Greenway up by where I live, and the trailhead's right there in my subdivision. As soon as we get on it, we see the same people every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we say hi to them, and it's very rare. You know, it's almost like, you know, to be honest with you, sometimes my wife and I are kind of like slowly offended if somebody doesn't greet. It's like, what's wrong with them? Are they having a bad day or something like that? Because between the people that we see in cars that wave at us and the people that we see on the trail, it's like you're just expecting some communication. So, you know, and the only thing that I've noticed is that folks here in Northwest Arkansas aren't as brave to get out on the trail below like 25 degrees.
So yeah.
Let's just call it what it is.
That is
so
right.
So, you know, my wife coming from New England and me being an East Coaster, it's like, oh, that's 25 degrees is nothing. You know, I start putting my shorts on below 32. But outside of that, I'm like, going to be out here. You know, you got to get your workout. So listen, I know that some people are probably wondering this. And I want to kind of, one of the things that I did want to talk about, because, you know, the whole focus of the podcast is to talk about the intersection of business, culture, entrepreneurship, and life here in the Ozarks. And, you know, from a business perspective, I would love just to learn more about your beer philosophy and how would you describe the philosophy of the soul of Ozark Beer Company, you know, especially your brewing style and kind of what makes your approach unique in the craft beer scene, because there's so many that are creeping up. Even you're getting more competitors. Since 2013, you've had a lot of competitors show up, some that have shown up and left again, but others that are have shown up and said, hey, we're here and, you know, we're here for the long term. But how would you kind of describe your philosophy and style around craft brewing?
I think for us, it's a very traditional style.
Okay.
And there's been a lot of shakeup in our industry tremendously, really since the 2010s or so. And then it's just been really exasperated, you know, through COVID and the challenges that we saw through that. And so I think for the first time in a long time, our industry is being really shaken up from its core. Mm-hmm. But I think when you look at what we do in terms of beer and beer styles, it is very traditional. We always have, you know, an IPA, a pale ale. I think at Ozark, we place a lot of value in the people that we have around us as part of our team. I think for Andy and I, we realized really immediately, like going into this, that starting a business, a lot of the time your head is kind of down in the weeds a lot. And so you need to constantly have people around you that are really good at what they're doing within your business so that they can speak from that perspective. And they can kind of pull your head up. And, you know, like if we're not always able to like keep up on the trends or the newest things, we know that we have people that are. And so I think for us, there's a lot of ownership for each of the brewers to be able to kind of make the beers that they want to make. I'm really, really proud of our cellar program, which is where we like age beers in barrels. And we do that in the basement of our location. And it actually is the constant temperature that doesn't fluctuate too high and low is actually perfect for that. And so Brant, one of our brewers, like that, the basement and the cellar is like his baby. And so like, he's the one that takes that over and like, you know, makes sure that we always have a beer that's out of there. And so I think for us, we really, and then just as breweries and everyone has kind of had to open their doors and kind of rethink, you know, what they're making, we've changed that as well. Like we also offer kombucha that we make in-house as like a non-alcoholic option. We offer a couple of ciders. We have slushies. And so I think a lot of what we try to be with our tap room and the beers that we make out of the tap room is really a mirror for what our community is looking for.
Yeah.
And so it's been exciting the last few years, you know, lagers, craft breweries are making more of kind of those traditional styles. And so that has opened the door for a lot of people that may not have gotten into craft beer before to find a product that they like. And so,
That's You know, it's funny that you mentioned it. I have not had your kombucha, but I've heard good things about it. Do you make flavored kombucha? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
do you vary that up, mix it up? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Depending, right. Like every batch, it kind of changes from there. And so.
So that's always available when people come. Mm-hmm. It's on tap, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. Cause I love kombucha, and it's something I discovered as I've tried to get my gut in order, as most of us have tried, right? And like I tell people all the time, your gut's like your second brain, man. You don't understand how important it is. So, and people laugh when I say it. I'm like, no, Reed, I'm not making this up. This is not, you know, I didn't just watch a YouTube video last night, but it is true. But, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that. So I would ask you, because as we're recording this in January of 2024, you know, there's this whole movement. I know people have like dry January, mm-hmm. where they don't drink as much. Did you notice kind of a drop off at all in the month of January?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. And that's been going on for a really, really long time.
Has it?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And so that's just something that we kind of expect. And that's right. Fine. And I think for us, that was really always kind of baked into what we were thinking, because we entered Benton County when it had been dry for so long.
Right.
And I think growing up here, I really understood the attitudes that surrounded alcohol.
Yep.
And it did just take a lot of education of like, you can drink a beer and it's okay. And like, and then really just inviting families into our space, like saying like, this is a place that is welcoming for everybody. And so I think for us, we've always thought about having things for other people.
Yeah.
Really creating that community space in the tap room. And so from the very beginning, we've always had Capri Suns at the brewery for the kids that, you know, they can come up and ask for. And so we've always had things for other people as well.
Yeah. And you guys have food too, right?
We only have snacks, but we pretty much always have a food truck, usually Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah. My man Russell was up there for a while. Is he still around or?
No, we do mainly like rotating.
Rotate. Okay.
Yeah,
that's what I figured.
We've really, really tried to get some folks to stick around longer, and we've had very success with that. But yeah.
I think it's tough because Russell was doing his Nashville hot chicken sandwiches. And I remember when he told me he was leaving Fayetteville to go up to Rogers. And I was like, well, where are you going? And he was like, oh, I'm going up. I'll be right up there in front of the Ozark Beer Company. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay. Well, you'll be in a good place. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of traffic over there. And there's a lot going on in that area for people that are not familiar with it. Your building is kind of right next to where the wall mural of Rosa Parks used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand they took that off and they've preserved it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right around the corner from the wonderful Onyx facility, which also houses Heirloom and Pinky Swear.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys are like, I mean, there's a lot actually happening down there in that area, which is really, really cool.
It is.
And then my friends, Dr. Bonk over at Pelfreeze and Natural State. And what they're doing. So, I mean, there's a lot happening in Rogers.
Man, we talked a little bit. I grew up in the area. I ended up going to like high school in downtown Rogers right there. And so to watch this community that I got to like drive through going to high school that has just, I'm just so happy and proud of the way that Rogers has grown so far in that. You know, it's been a little bit slower than some of the other areas, but I think that that's really allowed people to get like more of a foothold in, and people that are interested in wanting to be part of Rogers to get in on that before it's exploded too much. And it is awesome. It is. Yeah,
it is
awesome.
It really is. I mean, the downtown bike setup that they have down there for mountain biking, the bike
That's
park,
right. the rail yard park,
the rail yard park, and just everything that happens. I mean, Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue moved up to Rogers, and we went and hung out there one day, and we were really impressed with how, you know, easy it was to get around. I mean, there was a lot of people there, but you didn't feel like you were like on top of folks. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was a really good experience. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they've been doing, you know, Karen Wagaman, shout out to the Arts on the Bricks.
Mm-hmm.
And then just all of that, which I'm sure brings some traffic, additional traffic there to the Ozark Beer Company. Talk about, because this is something that you mentioned when I went to that event that where we met, you talked about you have space available for community events, for programs. And it got my mind thinking about like there are a lot of non-traditional, I'm using air quotes now, places where you can go have meetings. Mm-hmm. And Ozark Beer Company is one of them. And I know that's one of the hallmarks of what you hope to accomplish with the Ozark Beer Company, which is to make it a gathering place, not just to drink beer, mm-hmm. but a place where the community can come, where there can be meetings and other events where people can really get to connect with other people. And just so happens that it's a brewery. Mm-hmm. So could you just talk a little bit about that and how that's impacted you guys in the short period of time that you've really been focusing on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I feel like when we moved into this space, our first location really didn't have a dedicated tap room. It was all warehouse space. Yeah. We would drag out tables on, you know, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, and then drag them back in when we were doing production. And so when we moved into the new space in downtown Rogers, you know, we have a downstairs, we have an upstairs. And so a lot of the time during the week when we have, you know, extra capacity or we know that it's not going to fill up on both spots, we kind of offer up that upstairs space for events or businesses or nonprofits or anybody who would like to use it, either for a private meeting. But we also have partners that use the space as like a public way to invite people into their organizations as well.
Yeah.
I think right now we have an outdoor company that's in the Bentonville Film Festival that's sponsoring like outdoor films that we're showing once a month. We have a disc putty, like a disc league that meets once a week. And so I think for us, we love the space to be used to like reach out into the community. And so if we're not using that space, then typically we are really, really happy for other people to be using that space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. And I mean, I think people should hear that very clearly that Lacey's saying that, hey, that, you know, they're leaving the light on for other people to come in and be a part of what they're doing. And especially to me, that's a smart way of utilizing the space as often as possible. And on the heels of that, can you talk just a little bit about some of the sustainability practices at Ozark Beer Company, which I know that you guys employ, but, and that's always a key concern in most industries, including in brewing, but what are some of the sustainable practices or initiatives that Ozark Beer Company has implemented?
I think for us, one of the reasons why we chose to use like cans in our production was because they are like infinitely recyclable.
Sure.
And for us, just being in a state that really values their outdoor spaces and being able to get out in those, I think that was one of the ways that we looked at that. I think anytime that we're working in a brewery, you're looking at your inputs and outputs and looking at ways that you can be less impactful. And so we partner with a farmer who comes and gets all of our grain that we use, and then that goes through. And then I think for us, just a lot of, I think like education around that. And so like if we don't have that information or we're looking to like plug people into that. And so for us, like we partnered with the University of Arkansas, the Education Extension Office for storm drain education. And that's what we did for the last Earth Day and getting people together in that kind of way.
Okay. All right. So you guys are on top of it, basically. Try to be, at least.
We try.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. So in this process now, 11 years, congratulations for making it. Most businesses, you know, fail within their first 5 years. So you guys have made 5 years twice over and are now embarking upon your next 5 year a segment, which will take you to 15 years. But what have been one of the biggest challenges or things that you've been able to overcome in running a business like this?
Mm-hmm.
And was it harder than you thought it was going to be?
Yeah. So I mean, like, just I think the hardest thing ever for us was the pandemic. And so I think like going from a very service minded, community focused to being completely shut down and then having a very, very restricted like seating space. I think that was probably the most difficult. I think for a lot of people who had a business during that time.
Absolutely. Especially a public facing business like yours.
Yeah.
Where you rely on people physically coming in.
Yep.
I can't email a beer. Not yet. One day that might happen, but I can't email a beer to anybody. So, you know, I mean, that's, so yeah, that definitely can pose an issue.
Yeah. And so I think for me though, it did give me a lot more confidence in our business, mm-hmm. in myself, in our team, like everybody. And then just, it took away a lot of the fear that I had around succeeding or not, because I think when you're faced, you know, with that kind of situation, and I remember like sitting in the kitchen with Andy and we were chatting and it was like, all right, like, let's just lay out the worst case scenario. And the worst case scenario, of course, is like losing the business, like if you can't sustain everything. And so just walking through that process of being like, okay, it's on the table. Like, this is what it looks like. And that's what that path looks like. And focusing on the other side of that and being able to like come through, I have a lot more faith in ourselves. Yeah. You know, like if we could do that, there's not a whole lot that we can't do.
I know. Like, it's like surviving a 15 round heavyweight fight, coming out of it. And you're like, man, I don't have any black eyes. I can still see. I'm not mumbling, you know? And so now you got to feel like I can conquer anything. So, and I tell any small business owner list that will listen is that if you were able to survive through the pandemic, and I get it, a lot of businesses did not. But if you were able to survive during the pandemic, I mean, you are so much stronger just because of the resilience that you showed during that period of time.
Yeah.
Because it was a tough time for all of us.
Yeah.
It really was. Absolutely.
And I think that was, I feel like it hit so many people in different ways. And some people were working nonstop and some people didn't have any work. And I feel like there were struggles in each of those. And so, yeah, just understanding like, man, we all came through something. And And I think for us, it really helped us like solidify who we were.
Yeah.
We had some plans that, I mean, were immediately halted at that point and like reined back in. And so I think coming out of that and thinking like, okay, like we've had a pause for a year and what do we want this to look like moving forward? And so I think that those moments really solidified for me, like what the business is going to look like. I remember coming out of that and talking with my team. And I just remember thinking like, I'm having to talk a lot to describe what my business is. And if I'm having to talk about it a lot, then I'm not actually doing anything about it. And so like, how do I stop having to talk about it? And how do I start putting into action things that just show people what my business is?
Right.
And so I think that was the definitive turn for us in how we approached community events and community building and creating a welcoming space through our actions and not really our words.
Yeah. You know, and you bring up a very good point. A wise man once said, I would rather see a sermon any day than hear one. And it's true from a branding perspective. And that's what we were talking about earlier, is that a lot of companies struggle with telling their brand story to the point that other people will actually care about it. And that is, therein lies the difference between really successful companies and companies that just tend to get by. And, you know, I mean, I think your story is tremendous. And it's one of those things where you just, once you have it down, everybody just has to, they have to take that on and almost wear it like a garment to the point where people just look at you and say, well, what's so special about you? Oh, well, that's Ozark Beer Company. That's what we do and how we do it. And because we're in the community and we're giving back. So it's more than just the hops. It's more than just the taste of the beer. When you first take that first sip, it's just so much more than that, you know? And I think that's important for people to understand. So with that said, I want to ask you, because in terms of the way you've developed all the products, you have what I would consider to be your cornerstone beers. But then how do you kind of cycle in like your smaller batch items, and how do you determine, do you and Andy just flip a coin? Do you and some of the brewmasters say, we want to do this, we want to do that? I know you have some very unique methods for how you brew beer, but I'd be curious to know, how do you come up and curate all of these really wonderful different styles that you introduce to people?
I think up until this point, it was really very much, we would have some idea of like our longer term seasonals. So we have our core year-round beers, which is a pale ale, an IPA, a cream stout, and then our lager. And then other than that, we have beers that we rotate in. We kind of separate them into like IPA seasonals and lager seasonals. And some of those we have around for a lot of time. So we have like Ozark Haze fits under that, 40 Miles to Denver, El Tio, which is our Mexican lager, Mexican style lager. And so those have kind of been established. And up until this point, I feel like a lot of it is really like, okay, we got to brew another batch. What are you guys feeling? And so it really was kind of open to a lot of different ideas and really anyone could say, like, I would really like this style. I think that our challenge and where we're at now is that we've been around for 10 years and now we've never gotten to a point where it's comfortable. Like, we always feel like we're working very hard. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And especially, I think maybe we would have felt that way if it hadn't been for the shakeup of the pandemic.
Yeah.
But that, and so I feel like we're just getting back to that point now. And so we're trying to look at it a little bit differently and plan a little bit further out.
Yeah.
And so when we are looking at that now, it's kind of a team effort for us. We'll have, you know, the brewers 100% are there. Myself, Morgan, who does sales, she's kind of the voice from the market that's letting people know about what we need. And then we have Amy from the tap room who, you know, has our patrons who come into the tap room and she's saying,
this is what they're asking for.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so we're having conversations now of like, when people walk in, we always want to have, you know, another IPA.
Yeah.
We always want to have, you know, a beer from the basement, from the cellar. And so I think for us, it always comes down to a very like service industry mindset of mm-hmm. like, we want people to be happy when they're in our tap room or when they're looking at the shelves. And so I think that's where we try to make sure that we have hoppy beer and a beer that's not hoppy so that there is something that people can always find that they'll like.
Yeah. No, and I think that makes a lot of sense, right? Because, I mean, sometimes people don't know what they like until they've tried it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that. Mm-hmm. So that's why those beer flights work really nicely, mm-hmm. where you can try a bunch of different things. And you guys offer those, which I mean, they look so good. And so, I mean, I think people need to be aware that, you know, that's the other nice thing is when you go to a craft brewery, they're not letting you test out the beers and you're missing out, right? Mm-hmm. That's part of the reason why I go in there. Now, it's not like you just keep asking them for taste tests, right? We're not at a yogurt shop, but I mean, just, you know, go in there and figure out what you like and then start ordering it because that's how you'll find what, you know, what's right for you.
That's absolutely right. And we will say over and over, like, life is too short to like drink something you don't want
yeah.
to, you know? And
amen
so like,
that.
That's right. And so like when you get a pint of our beer, we want you to be happy with it. And that's what you want to drink. And so I give mad props out to our taproom staff. You know, they are the face of our business when people walk through that door and they are awesome at walking people through the styles. And if you don't know about craft beer, they will be happy to sit down and explain everything to you.
Yeah.
And yeah, like this is a spot where you want to find something that you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And so take the time to do that.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. Any advice for aspiring brewers? Maybe somebody listening to this that's like, you know, I would love maybe even a career mm-hmm. in this, right? Because this wasn't like when I was graduating from high school in 87, nobody was like, oh, you could be a brewmaster. I'm like, a brewmaster? I didn't know what that was. Now it's like a thing, right? It's like, because we've had Leo Orpin on from Black Apple. Shout out to Leo. I just won top 5 cideries in the country. Mm-hmm. And so, but I mean, I just think that there are all kinds of possibilities. So can you speak maybe to that and what advice you might have for aspiring brewmasters or brewers, whether they want to do it as a hobby or whether they're like, you know, I wouldn't mind this as a career.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think, you know, there are areas of the country that are very saturated in breweries. Arkansas itself, there's still a lot of room to grow. When you look at per capita, we always are in the 40s and usually, you know, at the end of that. And so there is room to grow. I will say that studies have shown that people generally drink at a tap room that's within 4 miles of their house. And so when you're looking at tap room spaces, like there is lots of room to like have your community that visits your brewery and, you know, that is their spot. The whole alcohol industry is kind of on its head at the moment in that pretty much any category of alcohol is down. So like beer, wine, spirits, it's just a completely changing market. And it isn't enough anymore just to open a brewery and think that people are going to come.
Right.
Like there's too many. There's too many breweries. There's too many options. People can get craft beer at the restaurants. You have to give people another reason to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that you just really need to be ready for the time and intention that it takes to actually try to get people in your doors.
Yeah. Which requires work. I mean, and that's kind of like some of that is that
that introspection that you have to do when determining who you want to serve, because you can't be all things to all people in a business. And so I think it's important. But and to your point, you know, I've read more about, you know, the whole mocktail movement, the whole movement for these all of these different alternative ways to there's like a whole brand new spot in Brooklyn that only serves non-alcoholic alcohol, if that makes sense.
Yep.
It sounds quite meta, but it's true. And they can't keep anything on the shelves because people are just going there. And so I just think that there's all kinds of opportunities. And if you, you know, it's not so much a field of dreams approach. If you build it, they will come, because that may not happen. But I think that you make a really good point of that, just that whole idea of traveling within 4 miles. Now, I travel up to where you guys are, and you're a little bit more than 4 miles from my house in Fayetteville, but it's worth the trip, and it's really not that far to begin with. But I think when people find something that they really like, they will invest in it, and they will speak with their dollars. So it's that simple.
Yeah.
Listen, as we close up, I would love for you to just, in terms of engaging with our listeners, what would you like our listeners to know about Ozark Beer Company that they might not discover just by visiting your website or tasting your beer? Because first of all, one of the things I think everybody's going to come away with is that to understand that Andy and Lacey, they are community minded. What they're trying to do with Ozark Beer Company is not just make a tap room, but make a space for the community to really come together, which I think is important. But beyond that, how would you like to engage with our listeners, and what would you want to share with them that they might not figure out just by going to your website or even picking up a can of your beer at the next event that they go to?
I think for me, and what I would want people to know, is that it's actually a really small team that runs Ozark Beer.
Yeah.
And so there are about 13 full-time. And then with our taproom staff, it usually puts us up to about 18 or 19. And so that's it. Those are the folks that run Ozark.
Those are 13 livelihoods. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
people
are supporting.
That's, yeah.
People that are getting Ozark Beer are supporting those families.
That's right.
Yeah.
And kind of what we do different on that side is we pay a living wage to our folks. Like,
bravo.
We pay 100% of health insurance for our full-time employees.
Wow.
And so it is a whole approach of trying our best to take care of everyone that has supported us. You know, I think we feel immensely, immensely grateful to have ended up in Northwest Arkansas, specifically in downtown Rogers. And the community has just absolutely showed up for us over and over and over again. I mean, through the pandemic, we didn't have a road to our brewery for 18 months.
Oh, it was rough. Trust me. Like, I was working up there for a while and it was tough.
Yeah. And I mean, like, people still found a way to get out and support us. And so for me, it's just turning that back. And I think you said it very well. You kind of get what you put in. And so that's what we're trying to do. And so we are open to folks who may be looking to partner. We can't partner with everybody.
Right.
If you have a great idea for an event, we invite businesses into our space quite often for markets. Yeah. We are, if you think that you have something that is a good idea that you'd like to see, like we want to try to help you do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what's the website address they should go to?
OzarkBeerCompany.com.
Perfect. And the address is Ozark Beer Company, 109 North Arkansas Street, Rogers, Arkansas, 72756. Do you guys have a number up there, a phone number?
479-636-2337.
Perfect. 2337 479-636-2337 Ozark Beer Company. She's Lacey Bray. She is the co-owner and co-founder of Ozark Beer Company, along with her husband, Andy Coates. And together, they are doing something very special when it comes to the fermentation of beer in Rogers, Arkansas. Lacey, thank you so much for joining us on the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. We really appreciate it. This was well worth the wait.
Thank you so much, Randy. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, there you have it, folks. Another episode of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. Remember, our episodes come out every Monday, rain or shine. So check us out. And please, sharing is caring. So please share this podcast with a friend. Let them know that we are on all the major platforms, including Apple, Spotify, YouTube. We're here, there, and everywhere. So we certainly encourage you to check out the podcast wherever you can. And if you're listening to us on Ozarks at Large, we certainly want to encourage you to follow us on any of your favorite podcasting players. And I believe we're also on the NPR One app. So there's that. So That's all that I have for you this week. We will be back next week with another new episode of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. I hope you guys have a wonderful week, and I will see you next week. Peace.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. Check us out each and every week, available anywhere that great podcasts can be found. For show notes or more information on becoming a guest, visit IamNorthwestArkansas.com. We'll see you next week on I Am Northwest Arkansas.